welcome to the Blindfold Chess Podcast. Fabiano Luigi Caruana, the chess phenom who was the youngest American to earn his Grandmaster title, the youngest to win the Italian Championship, the current top U.S. player, and the number two player in the world. His accomplishments go on for a while, but currently he is playing in his fifth candidates tournament, aiming for the World Championship. Born in Florida in 1992 to his Italian parents, he moved to Brooklyn when he was four. He played in an after-school chess program when he was five, when his chess talents were discovered. Later that year, he played in his first tournament. Starting in 2005, he moved to Spain to pursue chess full-time, playing under the Italian flag, working with a variety of coaches to move him up the rating ladder. His rating graph looks like a vertical line starting from 2005 to 2009, where he climbed from 2200 to 2640. In 2007, he obtained his final Grandmaster norm and became the youngest American and Italian to earn his Grandmaster title at 14 years, 11 months, and 20 days, beating Hikaru Nakamura's record of 15 years and 79 days. Later in the year, he won the Italian Championship with a +8 score to become the youngest Italian champion. The next year, in 2008, he won the Chorus C tournament, the Tata Steel tournament, and won the Italian Championship again. The next year, he won the Chorus B tournament, becoming the first player to win back-to-back Chorus C and Chorus B tournaments. In 2010 and 2011, he won back-to-back Italian chess championships. It was around this point that he started to run into his largest obstacle, Magnus Carlsen. There were a series of tournaments where he finished second behind Carlsen, like the Grand Slam tournament of 2012, Tata Steel, Zurich Chess Challenge, and the FIDE Rapid Championships of 2014. However, 2014 Sinkfield Cup was different. The tournament consisted of six players, the number 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and 9 players in the world. Caruana had the performance of his life, winning the first 7 games, then drawing 3 and having 0 losses, earning him a performance rating of 3,098, the highest performance rating in a single tournament ever. Later that year, he earned his peak FIDE rating of 2844, the third highest in history. The following year, Caruana moved back to the United States from Italy and began to play under the American flag. In doing so, he became the highest-rated American player, a title that he has not relinquished since he moved back. In 2016, he participated in his first Candidates Tournament, finishing in a tie for second. A month later, he was playing in his first U.S. championship. He finished a full point ahead of Wesley So and Hikaru Nakamura to become the U.S. champion. The next year, he landed on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list under the Games category, becoming the first chess player to make the list. 2018 was also a big year for Fabiano. In March, he played in his second Candidates Tournament, where he won and advanced to play Magnus Carlsen for the championship. He was the first American World Championship challenger since Bobby Fischer in 1972. The match against Carlsen was close. What else do you expect when a world number one plays a world number two? The first game was 115 moves long. Game six, Fabiano had a quote-unquote chance to win with a forced mate in 30 on move 67, but they ended up drawing. Carlsen had a chance in game 12, but offered a draw. All 12 games they played ended in draws. Carlsen's strategy was to beat Fabi in the rapid tiebreaks, and he did just that, winning all three and retaining his title. Since then, Fabiano has kept busy. He qualified again for the candidates in 2020 and 2022. He won his second and third U.S. Chess Championships in 2022 in 2023. And now he is playing in his fifth candidates tournament to try to dethrone world champion Ding Liren. In today's game, we are going back to the World Blitz Championship of 2010. Fabiano Caruana versus Boris Gelfand. Now, if we're ready, let's begin.
One, pawn to e4. Pawn to c5. Two, knight c3. Pawn to d6. Three, pawn to f4. Pawn to g6. 4, knight f3. Bishop g7. 5, bishop c4. Knight c6. 6, castle kingside. Knight f6. 7, pawn to d3. Castle kingside.
If you are white in this position, you have your pieces developed, you are castled. How do you proceed with an attack?
8, pawn to f5.
This is a very common idea when black has a fianchettoed bishop on g7, creating this pawn triangle of f7, g6, and h7. White has a bishop on c4, targeting and pinning the f7 pawn. So by playing a move of f5, white is temporarily sacrificing a pawn, but creating weaknesses in black's camp.
Pawn g captures f5. Nine, queen e1. Pawn f captures e4. Ten, pawn d captures e4. Bishop e6. Eleven, knight d5. Knight e5.
Black's two knights are attacking four of white's pieces. Two of them are undefended. What four pieces are being attacked, and which two are undefended? The knight on e5 is attacking the knight on f3, and the unprotected bishop on c4, whereas the knight on f6 is attacking the knight on d5 and the unprotected pawn on e4.
Twelve, knight captures e5. Pawn d captures e5. Thirteen, bishop g5. Bishop captures d5. Fourteen, pawn e captures d5. Queen d6. 15, queen h4. Knight captures d5.
White is currently down 2 pawns, but they have an open f-file, an open d-file, a semi-open e-file, and all of the pieces are pointed towards the king. How would you proceed with an attack with white?
16. Rook a to d1.
The idea of rook a to d1 is not necessarily to pin the knight to the queen, but to bring the last white piece into the action.
Pawn to e6. Rook 17, rook f6. Queen c7. Rook 18, bishop captures d5. Pawn e captures d5. Rook 19, rook d3. Rook f to d8. Rook 20, bishop h6. Bishop captures h6.
Black had the ability to play bishop captures f6, going up an exchange for the bishop that is on g7. Black opted not to do that. Why is that? While, yes, the bishop is worth less points than the rook, having the bishop capture on f6 and the white bishop recapture on f6, that creates a mating net where white can either play queen to g5 check or queen to h6 to set both of them up for queen to g7 checkmate. It was a way to block any black pieces from being able to defend.
21. Queen captures h6. Pawn to e4. Rook 22. Rook g3 check. Black resigns.
Black does not have a good way to stop king to h8, queen to g7 checkmate. The only way to get out of it is for black to give up his queen with queen c7, captures on g3, but the amount of firepower that white has in front of the black king will be too much to stop. I always love looking at Caruana's games. He makes the opening and the middle game look so easy, and he can take dry positions and turn them into fireworks with very little difficulty. So that is all that we have for this week. Tune in next time, where we will continue to work on our blindfold skills and look at another game of the Masters.